Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed, folks. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Yes, indeed, folks. Tonight, we're going to do something totally different. You know, I was at church this past Sunday celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it dawned on me while I was sitting there thinking, you know, I don't remember, like, the day after resurrection or the week after resurrection or the month. What happened? So I started looking, and I found a couple of verses there in Acts books 1 and kind of book 2 have a little bit of an explanation of what's going on. So if you have the Bible handy, open it up and look in Acts 1, read it. I'll try to maybe go check it out here, and I'll get it up and read a little bit of it myself. It's quite interesting. And so while I'm going to do this, I am going to play a song that is relevant because it's Easter, man. You know, we love Easter. Easter is the greatest thing ever. You know what I mean? I got to go back. I don't know how to go back on this virtual Bible I have here on my phone. I'm on Acts 7. I think I went too far. So look it up another way. But I'm going to play this song. Oh, I just turned it off. I'm going to play this song by Karen Daigle while I get a little prepared, find this verse for us. This is called Still Rolling Stones. And, of course, I do not own the rights to this song. I'm just playing it. I love the song, promoting it. Folks, go out and buy the record. Karen Daigle, she was on American Idol, great singer. This is a song, Still Rolling Stones. Jack, I see you there in the queue. I'll be picking up here shortly, ladies and gentlemen. As I dig up this Bible verse, here is Karen Daigle, Still Rolling Stones.
Out of the shadows, out from the gallows, a dead man walking, the love came calling. Rise up, rise up, rise up, get that I was super good for everything I've done. Yeah, I'm the one who does this thing. Could you call my name? You call my name. I thought that I was super I'm the one who took this grave, but you
Karen Daigle, still Rolling Stones. So I found this Acts 1. And you know what? I think I may just go ahead and kind of read it. It's a little long, you know, it's a lot to go through. But it goes right down to Jesus ascending up into heaven and what happened right after. But it was 40 days before he ascended, called the Ascension. 40 days after he was resurrected did he ascend into heaven and sit at the right hand of God the Father. I mean, how many people remember that? I was sitting there like, and I've been going to church for decades now, and I just never thought about it. So, Acts 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And these are some of the red letters in the Bible. Which, he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in the manner as you saw him go up into heaven. This is very important stuff. This is stuff people don't think about. And so, maybe to make a little heads and tails of this wonderful story, leading up to the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Pastor Jack Martin, welcome to the show, Pastor.
Hey, glad to be here, Mark.
And I hope that was good.
Amen.
You know, I don't know if you heard me, but I'm sitting in the church there on Sunday thinking to myself about the day after Easter. Is that something that folks think about? Like, I don't recall ever really studying that, which is kind of crazy. I'm sure I did. You know, I had 6 years of perfect attendance in Sunday school. But I mean, I don't recall ever talking about that. Is that something, Pastor, that people have seemed to have maybe forgotten or don't seem to talk about?
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that we tend to focus on one or two things, and we really miss the whole fruit of what Scripture says. If I could back up a little bit, there are four spring Jewish festivals, and there's three fall festivals. And the first four of them were fulfilled at the time of Jesus' death and his resurrection. You had the Passover that we know is symbolic of when they came out of Egypt, putting the blood on the doorpost. But then you have unleavened bread, which comes right after that, and that talks about Christ. Leaven is a type of sin, and Christ is sinless. Then you follow that with first fruits, which when the harvest first came in, they would take the first fruits and they would wave them before the Lord. And then you go another 10 days after that, and you have Pentecost on the 50th day. And that is the day when the church was born. But there's a lot more. I mean, when you mentioned the day after, we read in the scripture about the road to Emmaus. Two men are walking down the road, and Jesus comes up alongside of them. And they're acting like, you know, hey, don't you know anything? And nobody knew more about it than Christ himself.
I've actually heard of the Walk to Emmaus. A church that I was attending actually has a program where you go somewhere and you do a Walk to Emmaus, apparently. And from what I understand, it's pretty astonishing.
Yeah, if you think about it, Mark, I mean, he had told them over and over what was going to happen. And yet, even when he was put to death, the only one that was at the cross was John. And on the day that he resurrected, you know, Mary comes in and she sees the body missing, but she believes quick. John looks in and he wants to believe, but he doesn't go all the way. Peter starts to believe and runs back. But then you got Thomas, who when he hears about it, he's like, oh, come on, guys. You know, I'd have to put my fingers in the nails in his side, in his hands, before I'm going to believe this stuff.
Hence, the doubting Thomas came from.
Exactly.
You know, and so I read 7 chapters of Acts now, and I'm moving through it slowly. And in that book, it seems to me that it lays out some of the signs and miracles of the 40 days leading up to Ascension. Apparently, there were many signs for 40 days that proved that he was risen from the dead. I couldn't count all of them. Is there an actual count of encounters somewhere that they like make a list where you can say, okay, there were this many encounters in 40 days?
There are different views on it, Mark. But I mean, it's clear. I mean, he's raised from the dead, and the Bible says that dead people's graves opened up, and he came and they came to life. And then Paul makes it plain. He said he was seen by over 500 people. I mean, it wasn't like it was a one time deal.
Right.
The two on the road to Emmaus see him. The disciples see him. Thomas finally sees them, and then they're out fishing, and Jesus is over on the shoreline. But he said to him before he went up, he said, all power has been given unto me. Now I send you out to do the work. And actually, if you go to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, you see the actual beginning of the Spirit-filled church where the Spirit is poured out on people, you know. And that's where we go forward. You see Paul is gravitated or led, I should say, led by the Lord to minister unto the Gentile. Peter ministers to the Jew, but you see that there's neither Jew or Gentile in Christ. We're all in Christ. We love him. And
right. Just have to accept him as the Lord and Savior and then live like Christ would live as much as you possibly can. You know, I say a lot, Pastor, too. Some folks are like, oh, man, you got a guy at work. Like, that's sorry, you go to church. Har, 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 har. I'm like, hey, you know, that's cool. But I tell folks all the time that it's easy just to accept it into your heart and believe it to be true, and you are forgiven. Even if you laugh at me and you mock me because I won't come to work on Sunday because I want to go to church. So a guy actually said that to me one day when they said, well, we're going to work Sunday. You're coming in, right? I said, no. Well, what do you mean you're not coming in? Everybody's going to be here but you then. I said, I'm sorry for you guys, but I'll be, you know, that's my day. I go worship. I'm sorry.
Yep.
And they laugh at
too few.
Well, you know, they laughed at people back in the day, too. They laughed at Noah as he built an ark.
Yep. Too few people.
Let them laugh
today.
Let them laugh.
Too few people today. Amen.
So you've been doing some amazing stuff on some great missions. Unfortunately, I heard you lost your phone. you're able to call in tonight, so that's good. That means you have some sort of phonage, so we're good. So
had insurance.
I know this is going off topic. I know we were talking about the 40 days, but I've been so intrigued because some people really go and They go out, man. They don't just go on a mission down to the local food pantry. They get on boats and planes and motorcycles and go into deep into the woods and do missions in Africa and all over the place. You guys went down to Honduras. What's the mission? What are you guys doing down in Honduras?
Well, several years back, my wife and I had actually been on a cruise. And when we came out of Mahogany Bay, the one port there for Caribbean, we saw on the buses, they said, Jesus is Lord or God is good. And I thought, man, that's incredible. So I started doing some research, and I Googled places to do mission trips in Roatan. And one guy's name came up, Travis Morin. Great guy. Contacted him. We brought a group down from the church, did a whole bunch of work down there. This time we couldn't do the children's home because of COVID. They're not letting anybody in. But, you know, we did a bunch of construction there. The girls taught the kids. We go to the town dump and we feed the people that actually physically live at the town dump. They might have a 4x8 sheet of plywood and four pillar posts of just, you know, cinder block. And you might have five people living underneath that one piece of wood. We go to a drug rehab program. It's kind of designed like Teen Challenge. But when we first went down there, the guy told me, he said, the people on the island, when somebody's a drug addict, they just give up on them. They figure they're going to die. But right now, so many people are getting changed and saved. The whole island's attitude is changing. And so, like, you know, I do electrical work. I preach. I do a little bit of everything. But this last time down, I wired the kitchen at the drug rehab. The guy was cooking in the kitchen with no lights and no power. And when he got done and he turned on the switch and the lights, he gave me a giant bear hug. You thought I'd give him $1 million.
I'm telling you, people take things for granted. I have a friend at work. He come here about 20 years ago after his country was bombed and he had nowhere to go, so he came here. And he endured 3 years with no electricity before he came to this country. He goes, his town and his country were bombed. And I say, when he tells me this story, I said, man, if you had 3 months in America with no power, 80% of the people would probably perish.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And he did 3 years without power. People take it for granted. They really do. And that's time we wake up and realize, and you look around, God is great. Even people like me, right? Past, I live check to check. I struggle each week. You know, sometimes I go, oh, boy, we're going to be able to get payday Friday, and I need a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread. What do I do? Do I put gas in the car? Do I get the milk and the bread? You know, but I still have the greatest life ever. I got a house. I got cars. I got cats. I got great things. I have the world at my hands like it's crazy. So I don't complain about it, you know?
You know, and I kind of tell people that every person ought to go on a mission trip. And actually, going back to the text for tonight, the text really says, you know, go out to the whole world. And so when we go to different places, for years we went down to Baja in the Mexican Peninsula. Then we started going to Costa Rica. And last several years, we've gone to Roatan. You know, when we were down there this time, the power goes out on the island with a warning. I mean, if they have a thunder and lightning storm, you might lose power for 8 hours. So
right.
you never know when it's going out. The people down there, Mark, in March of last year, we were down there when COVID hit, and the last ship came into Roatan and left when we were there last year. They have not had a single ship in there in a year. That's 90% of their economy. I mean, these people became resourceful. They started baking their own food and selling it on WhatsApp and things like that. We have no clue. I wish every person went on a mission trip.
You know, some people really should, because they don't realize how good they have it. I've been to some pretty rough neighborhoods here in America where the living is hard. So it's not only for the whole world, but, you know, places like Africa and Honduras and a lot of these Central American countries where the folks are fleeing because of O'Biden's promise to come on in. You know, could you blame the people to want to flee where at any moment the election could go out for 8-10 hours at a time, where there's no real security, you know, and you don't know if you're safe from minute to minute. And these people are fleeing, trying to come to a better life. I understand why people want to come to America. I love people who emigrate to America and follow the system.
Yep.
I want nothing more than people to come to this great country to make a better life for themselves. That's it. I love that. But do it right. Our families did it right. Our families came here. You know, a lot of them came on boats in the late 1800s, early 1900s, by the thousands into Ellis Island, got registered, got a number, got a name, got an identification. You know, here you are. Welcome to America. And then they built the greatest nation in the world.
Yep.
And here we are. So what's your take on all this nonsense now? What's going on? Holy moly, this president.
You know what? You and I both know he's not making the decisions. Joe Biden is a glorified teleprompter reader. At this point in time, I don't know if it's portions of our CIA, FBI. I don't know who exactly, but somebody's calling the shots, and it's not Joe. And you can see when he's reading things, he
President
pronounces them. Yep, he either pronounces them wrong, or you can see him stop, you know, before a sentence is even completed. Kamala is scary because, I mean, her lifestyle with Willie Brown tells me that's not who I want in the White House.
Some say because she's an anchor baby, in quotes, I put up the quotation marks, and that she's not even eligible to have the position she has right now, but who knows, you know, even if it's challenged, anybody who challenges it will be demonized and canceled, so you can't even challenge it.
I don't know if people realize it, but what they've done to us has made any form of resistance to be considered, you know, anarchy against the government. Right now, if you and I wanted to go to Washington, D.C. and protest, the moment we pulled into the city, we'd be under watch. We'd probably be picked up pulled in. You can't even go to the Capitol anymore and exercise your First Amendment rights.
Nope. And blame it on former President Trump. That whole thing, January, I don't know, I'm mixed. I have mixed feelings about January 6th. Up until anybody entered the building, while they were just outside chanting things like Stop the Steal and USA, and they weren't trying to get in, to me at that very moment was like a Tea Party moment. The people were knocked. Here we are. We are now following what the Constitution told us to do, to cast out the government that no longer represents us and elect one that does. And then the Antifa BLM crowd got the building broke into. And of course, folks, you have to know that in the emotion, in the adrenaline, in the excitement of the situation, President Trump's supporters did, in fact, go into the Capitol after it was broken into. So that is what made it a crime, illegally entering. So, unfortunately, Trump people were there, but they were not the cause of this quote-unquote insurrection. That wasn't an insurrection. That was angry Americans. They didn't say nothing when they stormed to the Supreme Court, and they had Chucky Schumer out there hollering at Judge, Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh?
They broke into the Supreme Court building, very similar to what happened at the Capitol, but nothing happened there because they were protesting a conservative.
Well, and you know, Mark, you don't hear anything about the time when the Black Panthers came into the Capitol with guns. We still haven't heard anything about who the officer was that shot and killed the Patriot. I've seen the video of it. There was no reason in all the world for him to have fired a gun. They have tear gas, they have pepper spray. There's so many things he could have done. He stepped forward and shot her, go through the window. One of the leading BLM leaders was in there with Trump, you know, paraphernalia on, and he was recording it all with a CNN reporter. So, I mean,
yep.
To me, what I saw was a setup. Number one, they waited until Trump was done speaking to announce that Mike Pence wasn't going to back him. So that riled the crowd up. Then Antifa and BLM started the breaking in. And unfortunately, there are a lot of lambs, and they followed. But if you watch, even when they went into the Capitol, they walked between the ropes going through the rotunda. It wasn't a wild frenzy. It was actually people just there and not knowing what to do. It was wrong, but not nearly as wrong as what is happening in our government today, not nearly as wrong as what's happening at the border. That whole wiring up of D.C. with fences and National Guard, that's all meant for television. There's no reason in the world for them to be there now.
Yep, and there they are. Like, why? I guess that's why they had to have somebody, you know, drive into a couple of guards down there the other day, or something. Maybe that was a setup to keep them down there a little longer. Hey, look, they're still trying to get in, you know.
And ironically, it was one of their own that did it.
It always is. You see, the name of the guy who went shooting at the base. Look at his name.
Yep.
It's always got a name like that. Man, look at it.
You won't hear that on CNN.
All right. So granted, there were mass shootings during the Trump. One of the most horrific mass shootings in the history of this country happened under the Trump administration with the deal in Vegas. Now, I don't know if you remember, I did a lot of coverage of the Vegas incident. I did a lot of coverage. I had people that were in the crowd at the concert. I had people that were in other hotels when there were shootings going on at other hotels. Hours later, I did extensive research into that. There was something bogus going on there, and I think it was a false flag 100%. Yes, people died. That's without a doubt. There was a gentleman that I had on the show who was in the crowd, and him and his, you know, friends and family were running away from the gunfire. The gunfire was behind them, and people were getting picked off in the face, running away from the gunfire behind them as they were running away. And no one would listen to them. And when they got them, they confiscated their phones and their videos, and they took all the evidence and scrubbed it all away. I listened to 1,500 911 phone calls that would blow your mind. It started at 9:56 p.m. and went to like 3 o'clock in the morning of shooting up and down the strip all night. But the deal with the mass shootings is, look at the rash that we're having now, that the gun control is a big issue and the Democrats have control. All of a sudden, people are going in and shooting in the news every day. Another mass shooting, another mass shooting, another mass shooting. What is going on? They are manufacturing this, and it stinks. They're actually killing people to accomplish their goals. It's insane that anybody doesn't see that. You know? This country better get ready. I was talking to a friend today, and he's like, has God turned his back on us? I'm like, no, God has not turned his back on you. This is all written. Yeah, this has been written. We've been told good is evil and evil is good, and the whole story. It's unfolding chapter by chapter, verse by verse, red letter by red letter in the Bible.
Yeah, it's
word by red word.
Yep, it's building up to what the scripture says. Even now, when they talk about having to take the COVID shot, there are some things in a couple of the COVID shot manufacturers that alter your DNA. They're conditioning you to take a mark. I mean, I told people God gave me, an immune system, and ain't nobody on earth is going to improve on it. So I'll stick with that. And when it's my time to come home, I'll come home. My wife and I both think that we had COVID a year ago in January because we're both very sick. And it's like 99%, recovery rate. It's a joke, but it's what Scripture says, especially when you see when Paul writes to Timothy, the conditions in the last days. They match exactly where we're. Kids are rebellious. People are betraying each other. People are lovers of money rather than lovers of God. It's all leading up. When Jesus, all the way back to the text tonight, when Jesus was mandating to the church, he was telling them, go out to the whole world. And when the whole world has been reached, I'll return, but I'm not going to tell you when. I'll give you some signs you can watch for, but I'm not going to give you an hour or a day. And sadly, we all want it. We all want to know the hour and a day, but it don't work that way.
Nope. Again, that's the way to keep you on the straight and narrow. You don't know when it's coming, so you better live the righteous way, because you don't know. And make sure you wake up every day and ask for forgiveness, and go to sleep every day asking for forgiveness, because you sin every day.
Yep.
You're human.
Well, and people don't realize that, but when you look at First John, it tells us you shouldn't sin, but if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, the man Christ Jesus. Like, we shouldn't do it, but if we do, we have hope.
Hey, I just want to say real fast, Elizabeth Doolittle is in the live feed. Hello, Elizabeth. Welcome to the show. Folks, if you're in the Hernando County area, I believe this Saturday, 1 p.m. at the Sunset Grill in the Hernando Beach on Shoreline Boulevard is Community Patriots of Hernando County's weekly meeting. Head down there. Go see what's shaking. We got a lot of rhinos right here in the good old boys club of Hernando County, and it seems like they're up to nefarious deeds to keep their boys in the loop and to keep their money machine rolling. So we need to get some more patriots down there who know the local yokels and who the rhinos are and who the real conservative, patriotic Americans who want the best for Hernando County and the state of Florida and the United States of America. So head on down to Hernando County. Community Patriots of Hernando County. Seek them out on Facebook.
Amen. And they're doing a real good job, too. Elizabeth and her husband have put committees together that are really doing the research.
Yeah, and the good old boys club of Hernando County is alive and well right now, folks. Believe it. Believe it. I've seen some things, and there seems to be deep corruption, but I just want to keep it at that because, they're shutting people down. They're going after people, and they're doing crazy stuff right here in Hernando County like you wouldn't believe. So just beware of the rhinos and think about who you're electing. Really, really screen them. Vet them, research them, look into their record, doing some serious rhino-type things right here in Hernando County, like raising the taxes 14% and adding the blue garbage cans and raising our garbage fees, like little things like that that conservatives don't usually do. And they blame it on previous administrations. Sounds familiar.
I got to laugh when I drive down the street and I see all those blue garbage cans lined up. You get the feeling that you're in some kind of end time movie.
And some of those guys that I talk about ran on no taxes. I'm a veteran. Oh my God, this is the guy I want. He's no taxes, a veteran. I love veterans. Let's vote for this guy. will remain nameless at this time because, you know, but he is going to more than likely be running for Blazing Golia's seat. So if you're in Hernando County, you probably know who I'm talking about as he sits on the Hernando County Commission. So that narrows it down to five, folks. That's all the hints you get from me. You know? And we got to really start thinking locally right now. It starts at the local level. So if you are in the county of Hernando, really look into the candidates. Look into what's going on. We need to start electing patriots over politicians. Right, James?
You know what?
James Cavetta. James Cavetta, I think, is listening. If you're listening, James, that's something you said. You said it on my show when you were running for state house here in Florida. Time to elect patriots and stop electing politicians.
You know, back when I had run for the congressional seat in 2016, the reason that I got out was because Webster jumped in from the Orlando district to ours. I didn't want to be the one who split the vote and got a moderate in. But I'm not going to lie to you. I have watched what Webster's done since then, and we need a new congressman. My wife would shoot me, so I won't be running again. She would kill me. But we need a new congressman.
Yes, because a no vote during all the hoopla and the election stuff was just – he didn't vote at all. He didn't back his president. He didn't stand up for his constituents that voted him in. I sent him a little thing on Facebook that stated, you should have voted with the president, with the people who put you in. You know Hernando County. You know Spring Hill. The people in here, this is Trump country here. You knew it. You should have. You just, you know, won't be our congressman now. That's a fact. That's what I told him.
When I was at one of the pastors' conferences that they do every year in D.C., I had gone to see him in his office, and I took another pastor with me from Colorado. And I asked him, I said, well, what do you feel about the Johnson Amendment? And Johnson Amendment is illegal. It's unconstitutional. For 11 years, we would preach a message and name candidates. We'd record it, and we'd mail it to the IRS. And they never took anybody to court. But I asked him, I said, what do you say about the Johnson Amendment? I mean, shouldn't it be repealed? And he looked me in the eye and he said, well, you know, that's a slippery slope. And the other pastor with me just looked at me like, what did he just say? There's no slippery slope. Churches are being made to be quiet. Baseball teams, Coca-Cola, all these companies can speak out and change the course of our government. But pastors need to have the courage to get in the pulpit and preach the truth. Part of why my church never got bigger was because I always spoke the truth, and some people can't handle it, to be honest with you.
Right. We're learning that more and more and more. Even in the conservative circles, people, that's some folks are dead set. It's one way. There's a hard left and there's a hard right. And the hard right people, that's it. They're set in stone. They won't listen to reason. They won't listen to rhyme. That's it. A lot of people, though, on both sides are open-minded. People don't realize. I have a couple of folks at work who are on the left, and even they can't believe some of the things they're seeing. So
exactly,
not everybody is sold. There's a hard left. There's a hard right. And then there's people in the middle. And folks who will listen, who will go, wow, I never thought of that, and go research what other people might be getting fed or the information they may have. It helps you to have dialogue with the people on the left that aren't insane. Now, it's hard to find them. It's hard to find people on the left who aren't insane because it seems like they're all nuts. But there are a few guys at my job that are actually, you know, they go to work, they pay the taxes, and they're kind of on the fence about a few things that are occurring right now under the Biden administration, going, I don't know if I really want to, this is what I voted for, you know? And
Mark,
yes, sir.
I do a seminar called Christians in Human Government, And part of the whole premise of it is to go all the way back to the Magna Carta in Britain, when the kings ruled everything and they stood in the place of God, and the land barons, you know, were like some of the rich people today, and the peasants were getting stepped all over. But that's where they came up with common law, and that you shouldn't have soldiers taking over your home, and you were entitled to a fair trial. When the pilgrims came to America on the Mayflower, before they ever put foot on land, they signed the Mayflower Compact. Its purpose was to glorify God, to further the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to form a civil body politic, which a civil body politic is a government that was based on biblical principles. In the 1700s, pastors were the ones preaching about the evils of Great Britain. You've heard the word Black Robe Regiment. I've been part of that, you know, for about 20 years almost. It's those were the guys who fired everybody up to stand and have the courage. Today, Mark, when I try to find pastors to get involved, I'll tell you what, it's like trying to find people who will admit that they cheated on their taxes. You can't find them.
Right. You know, it's one of the things I spoke to my former pastor about. I asked him if he ever heard of the Black Robe Regiment, and I said these guys were synonymous in the revolution of our country and the reason that we have a constitution that's steeped in God in the first place. It was the preachers who stood on the soapboxes and talked to the people. That's where they got their information. People went to church on Sunday. Everybody gathered together and got their information.
Yep.
That's why religion and church is protected under the Constitution. One of the main reasons. Why won't you assemble? Why won't you throw away the masks and open the church? Because you're afraid to lose your 501c3 tax exemption? I'd rather pay taxes.
But, you know, can I tell you something, Mark? It isn't so much a fear of losing the 501c3. It's a fear of that big tither who comes up to you on a Sunday morning and he tells you, you know, Pastor, you've been preaching on this subject too much, and if you don't back away and stop preaching on it, I'm going to have to take my tithe somewhere else. They're more afraid of losing money. No church has ever lost their 501c3 over preaching from the pulpit.
Right. It's the big tithers who will go to the church down the block. That makes sense. And that too is pretty bad too. That a church. If I was a pastor and they came to me and said that, I'd say, well, then take your tithe to another church. We'll figure it out another way.
Yep. You know what? You got to remember, God is the provider, and if they leave with the money, God will raise up somebody with a whole lot more.
They can't just always be worrying about that big donor, but apparently they do, you know. And I love the church. I was born and raised in the church that I went to. I don't like to call people out because they don't have a chance to come on and defend themselves. I'm not telling you which church and all that stuff. But I was born in the church, baptized in the church, confirmed in the church, married in the church, and had my son baptized in the church, the same church. My son was baptized in the same church I was baptized in, and I think that's pretty cool. I like that.
It's history, it's heritage.
And what's sad is because of all this stuff, I have to leave my church that I was born and raised in. But hey, God's got a different calling for me, and I moved on, and there must be a reason. And I'll just let God's plan unfold before me, and I will move on. And we'll enjoy our new church family. And my son loved it. It was amazing. And I enjoyed myself. I was actually feeling the Holy Spirit while I was there in the congregation, moving itself.
Yep.
I must have made the right move. It wasn't the move that you told me about, Pastor. I found another spot.
That's okay. That's okay.
But, hey, we got to find our place to worship. Folks, you don't need a building to worship. You know, you can go to the park with three people and a Bible and talk about Jesus, and you're having church. So,
I tell people that the power in going to church is that the Lord called us to be a body. And when you go as a body, there's going to be somebody there who can see if you're hurting and be there for you. The legalistic side of it doesn't carry. I love being in church. I love being around believers. My only problem is I can't find anybody that was as outspoken as I was, so it's kind of hard.
You know, the things that I don't want to talk about seem to always come up no matter what. I try to avoid it, but, man, it just – because, you know, when everybody gets talking about something, everybody gets talking about it. So, and a lot of times I'll go out, my wife, and she'll be like, okay, no politics when you're out. Okay, sweetheart. And then all of a sudden someone comes, because they know I have my show or, you know, whatever the case may be, and they start talking to me, you know. And once you start, that's it.
Yeah, Jeremiah the prophet said, you know, he thought God deceived them because how bad things went. But he said, I told God I wasn't going to speak about it anymore. But then it burnt like a fire in my bones, and I couldn't be quiet. And, I mean, I go through that all the time. If somebody gets into a topic, I'm telling myself, now, don't pay to talk. But I sit there for another 30 seconds, and before too long, I'm just going at it.
You know, and it's unavoidable in these times, especially we have these devices. Everybody's connected. And information's flying at you at 1,000 miles an hour at all times of the day and night. So the news cycles today, like when I was a kid, you either caught the 6 o'clock news or you caught the news at 11. And when the news was over, the TV went blank. They played the national anthem, and that was it.
Yep.
You went to bed.
Hey, one thing, Mark. When they tell people that as a Christian you shouldn't be involved in politics, here's the deal with that. Christians aren't involved in politics. That everybody making the laws of the land are unbelievers, and every law they make is going to be in favor of unbelievers. Christians have to be a voice.
Yes. Yes, and you can't be a Christian and vote for Joe Biden. I'm sorry. If you feel like you're a Christian, but you voted for, I know, ma'am, the head is crowning, but if you want an abortion right now, you could have it. What? Someone voted for that? Like, really? That's really alarming to me.
In my life, Mark, no president, including Ronald Reagan, defended Christian beliefs and defended conservative causes in the Constitution like Donald Trump did. I would vote for Donald Trump in a heartbeat all over again.
Yep, me too. Me too. And I don't know if he's going to run again or not. If he does, he gets my vote. I never seen a guy come out of the gates making promises on the campaign trail. And on January 21st, 2017, he started checking that list off. Like, yep. I never seen in my life before.
No, nobody's ever done. I mean, that man did more than he promised.
Yeah. And now look what he did at the border. And now look at the border. Oh.
You know, the sad part right now, Mark, you had the two little 3 and 4 year olds that were dropped over a 15-foot fence. You had a six-month-old baby thrown into the Rio Grande. You've had countless people drowned in the Rio Grande. Yesterday on Fox, they showed a little boy who they left in the desert. And then you have the people like that. You have the people like that woman in the government in Georgia who thought that when he talked about coyotes, that they were actually putting babies on living coyotes and bringing them across the border.
And that's scary that these people are in positions of power, you know?
Exactly.
What about the little girl, a 10-year-old girl, said she couldn't speak because she lost her voice as she was being gang raped?
Yep.
And this is what we want.
Yeah. And
what these
and what
people want.
Seeing, what you're seeing now is that in Texas, some of the politicians are saying there's proof of molestation at one of the government camps, you know, in our own government, in the Biden administration.
It's unreal. It's baffling. Look what they did to President Trump when he was inherited the cages that were built by the Obama administration.
Yep.
And what did they do now? They put tents around plexiglass cages, which are even worse than the chain link fence, because now that all that COVID crap is stuck in an incubator, they put tents around it, and then they said, sorry, you can't go in.
Well,
so they knew if they let anybody in, they would see that travesty was taking place. And, oh, well, because it's a Democrat in office, it's okay.
Yep.
It's Trump's
fault. And they were saying that they were taking the ones with COVID and just putting them on the other side of the room. It's like, what do you think? You think the germs don't spread across the room?
Unbelievable. And of course, right before the alien invasion started, they were talking about, and you have to be careful. You have to wear your mask. You have to maintain social distancing. We're going to have a third spike. You think? You're sending these people on buses and planes and trains and shit across the country. Excuse my language. Across the country. Infected. Of course we're going to have another spike.
Yep. And yet they claim there would be giant spikes, you know, between Trump rallies, between things like the football games and stuff. I was at the Trump rally here in Tampa. I mean, you were packed in. You were like sardines, and nobody came out of that with COVID.
You know, there's something tricky about this COVID-19, and I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. Past, I had frontline doctors. I had a doctor who was at that infamous press conference there in front of the courthouse where they were screaming for hydroxychloroquine, and it got censored, and they wouldn't even let it out in the papers or on the websites. I had these people on my show. I talked to experts, a virologist. I talked to a nurse. I talked to Dr. Elena George on numerous occasions out of Georgia, frontline doctor. She comes on the Patriot Nation Radio Network all the time. Hydroxychloroquine works. They let people die for their political agenda when they could have saved lives with hydroxychloroquine.
Down in Roatan, they use hydroxychloroquine for malaria. That was the first thing they went to when they had it, and they actually had a preemptive series of medicines, three or four different medicines. Zinc was one of them. Hydroxy was one. But you would take these things You would take it the first point in time that you felt anything changing. And these people were never getting the chest infection. They were never getting pneumonia. Roatan wasn't equipped to deal with pneumonia, so they knew they had to catch it first. I mean, here's a third world nation that did better than we did.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Shanghai, right down the road from Wuhan, didn't get a single case. How's that? I don't know. But you're doing some great mission work, stuff like that. If someone wants to help you on your next mission down there, is there somewhere people can contribute or volunteer or help?
Mark, I'd have to make a GoFundMe page or something. Up till this year, my wife and I have carried most of it. But being retired now, that's hard. I did have a friend and a couple of people in the church that gave money. Matter of fact, the church itself gave money that we used to pastor. You know, like I said, we go down there, we buy what we can, and we bring it in, we do it. I did some wiring down there. We brought some crafts for the kids. We brought like a whole bunch of like maybe 400 or 500 pairs of eyeglasses that one of the local eye doctors had donated. You know, I mean, if people want to help, maybe they can let you know and you get back to me. But we'd appreciate it. It is when we go down, we usually pay for our month's rent, and we pay for our airfare, and we pay for most of our food. When we get donations for anything, we try to use it for the stuff that we're going to bring with us.
Well, I'm right here at the end of my show, and I want to tell folks that I am right now in negotiation. It's not set in stone yet, but I have been speaking with the media personnel for Mike Lindell. He's been putting out a video here. He put out a video with a physicist, scientist, guy who has 90 papers written, has been on the cover of scientific magazines. He's on with Mike Lindell, and he said that beyond a shadow of a doubt, the election was stolen, and what they have would easily have standing in the Supreme Court. But too little too late, unfortunately. And old Mike Lindell, I guess he's predicting that Trump will be in the White House in August. And the folks are still holding on to hope. Too bad their hope is misdirected. My hope is in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Pastor, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. It's always nice to talk to you. And this has been a really cool show. I don't usually do shows like this, and sometimes people need Jesus. And so today we brought you Jesus on the Patriot Nation radio show. And it's important, folks. You can
Mark, thank you so much for letting me be on. I appreciate it very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And there you have it, folks. That's Pastor Jack Martin, Black Road Regiment. He comes to our events a lot. He usually does our opening prayer, and I want to thank him also for that. I always like to invite Pastor Jack to our event, as he is a constitutional pastor. Hallelujah. We need more pastors who believe the Constitution and how hard fought it was by Black Regiment pastors, Black Robe ministers of the past. So Mike Lindell, I'm trying to book him. I'll keep you posted. Keep on praying that Mike Lindell comes on the show, because his videos are pretty cool. What he's putting out, he's pretty much without a shadow of a doubt proving it, and people still aren't listening, which is crazy. So the more people that we can get it out to and spread it out to see the truth and see what's really happening, the truth will set you free. They didn't say that for nothing. So keep the truth
Amen.
Going, folks. Keep fighting. And remember, we have a conservative perspective heard two nights a week here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network with James Bostic, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. And we have United Patriots Uprising with Gary Binford. He used to write for New York Newsday, New York Daily News back in the day, and he is now on our network. He had a great show this Monday. Next Monday he will be off. He does alternating Mondays. So next week he's off. The week after that he has some compelling, awesome guests every week. It's been a great addition to the Patriot Nation Radio Network. That's United Patriots Uprising every other Monday, 7 to 9 p.m., Patriot Nation Radio Network. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate it, because without you, there is no show. And I think that the more we keep spreading the truth, the better we'll be. And so with that, I wanted everybody to stand up, join me, because at Patriot Nation Radio, we rise for the flag and we kneel for the cross. Our good friend Dave Bray and the Star-Spangled Banner. You can have this at DaveBrayUSA.com, Music on a Mission. Storyteller Edition, how that. Thank you.